Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Good morning. Who loves Christmas? Do you know, I'm going to be honest and say to you that for a long time, I kind of got to a point with Christmas where I was over it. Over the commercialism, over all the additions that the world's put to it. But you know what? This year in particular, when I look at the screen and I see those words, behold, take another look at Jesus, that's the reason for the season. And this morning, we are going to dive in and we're going to have another look at Jesus. And I'm excited about the word that God's given me this morning. And I just pray that you are impacted by what God has to say and that you walk away changed. So you ready? Amen. Let's pray. Father, help. Lord, help me to speak your words. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd speak through the very mouthpiece that you have given me this morning. And Father, I pray that we would be impacted by your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Guys, grab your seats. Thank you. So as I said, it's very much a privilege for me to be able to share with you this morning. And when I was sitting in church, actually last Sunday morning, and I looked at the screen there, and I saw the words, behold, take another look at Jesus. God literally dropped in my heart, and he said these words, behold, take another look at forgiveness. And I just went, wow, I love that. Because if you know me and if you know my journey, and my wife will nod very quickly, the journey of forgiveness that I have been on over the last 20 years has been literally an amazing journey of God's grace and God's goodness and his amazing hand upon my life. And I want to take you on that journey this morning. I want to take you on a place where we can actually just look at forgiveness. Again, you know, because the word behold, as has been said many times throughout this season, it means to take another look, to reflect. In fact, it even says the words, I see you. I was reminded of the film Avatar. Who's seen the movie Avatar? I've forgotten her name. Who knows what their names are? I forget characters' names. I just remember their films. But anyway, she walks up to Sam Worthington and she puts her hand on his chest and she looks him in the eyes and she says the words, I see you. And I pray this morning that we would reach out and put our spiritual hand onto the chest of Jesus and we would say, I see you. Amen. Something fresh this morning. And we've been looking over this verse of scripture in John 1:29 where it says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this morning, as I said, I want to take you on this journey. And I just want you to gain a deeper understanding of what forgiveness is and just get some fresh eyes on forgiveness. Because I believe that as you get fresh eyes on forgiveness, you are going to get fresh eyes on who Jesus is. You're going to get fresh eyes on the Savior of the world. You are going to get fresh eyes on the wonder and the grace and the mercy of God. You are going to get fresh eyes on the one who came and gave his life and rose again from the dead and has given us forgiveness that is unbelievable. It's amazing. So let me take you a little bit on a journey of my faith life. And it was actually at the age of 13 when I first gave my heart to Jesus, when I first encountered what it is to be a Christian. And I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. In fact, my dad was actually very anti-God. Very anti-God. He would have this family friend who would come over on a regular basis and they would try and talk to him about the gospel and he'd say, don't bring into that codswallop into this house. And it actually turned into a fight once where he actually rejected it so much. And I can remember this growing up as a kid. So I thought, oh, well, church isn't obviously what it's cut out to be because dad's the be-all and end-all, right? We all follow dad because dad's amazing. Dads are amazing. Yes, we are. There it is. Come on. John, I'm with you, man. But I remember this one particular day when I was 13 and we were driving home from church and my dad, after going to church on a Sunday morning at Christmas of 1983, and he turned to my mum, and we're driving down Maringaroo Drive in our old HQ Kingswood. Who remembers the old HQ Kingswood? Oh, hey, come on, that's the car. And this was a bench seat, right? It didn't have three on the tree. It was an automatic, so we were progressive in those days. We had an automatic, which was fantastic. Anyway, this bench seat, and my dad turns to my mum, and he says these words, and I've never seen to that point in my life, I'd never seen my dad cry, and I see tears streaming down his face, and he says, "There's more to life than just living it, isn't there?" And I'm like, dude, what is going on with my dad? My dad, if you know him, even to this day, he's quite a tough kind of exterior sort of guy. I look at photos of him when I was a kid, and my friends would say, "Is your dad a hitman?" He was just a rough, tough guy. Mike and Donna, you know my dad. You know he's quite a tough sort of a guy, but he's a softie at heart. And he turns and says these words. Now, cut a long story short, 2 weeks later, they go back to church on the Sunday night on the 5th of January from memory in 1984. The altar call came, and they were sitting in a section just no middle aisle like this. It was all joined together. They were sitting in the middle, and then both of them independently put their hand out, walked out in opposite aisles and met each other on the altar and gave their life to Jesus. And that's an amazing story. But see, the best part of that story was I saw such a change in my dad over the next 3 weeks that I went, this stuff's real. And I said, oh, well, I actually sat there on a Sunday night because we did surf club back in those days and nippers and so forth. And I sat there on the Sunday afternoon and I said to Mum and Dad, I said, hey, can I do what you guys did? And they're like, sure, because they'd found it, right? And I encountered God for the first time. The following Sunday, we went to church on the Sunday night. I put my hand up. I went out the front and I then went out the back room and they said the sinner's prayer with me and I encountered Jesus for the first time. And, you know, that was wonderful. But I wasn't really understanding what I was encountering. And that was just the beginning of the journey. And it was something was going to change my life. And 12 months later, I was baptized in water and I made a public declaration. But as I entered my teenage days and as I started to actually, you know, I guess strut my stuff and become who I thought I was, I really didn't understand what forgiveness was in reality. Yes, I'd been forgiven. Yes, I kind of understood it, but it was forgiveness to a point. Like, it was like there was a line here that said, you're forgiven to here, but you're not forgiven this far. This then led to, I guess, in many respects, what I would call a destructive lifestyle. I kind of got caught in the rabbles of an ongoing process of just ultimately trying to destroy my life. You know, even in the midst of that, I did work experience in the church because I said, I want to be a pastor. I mean, I was living this life of turmoil because I hadn't grasped what forgiveness really was. Ultimately, this lifestyle nearly led to the destruction of my marriage and my family. To the point where Christine and I were actually separated for nearly 2 years. Now, this coming April, praise God, we're nearly going to celebrate 29 years of marriage, wow, which is amazing, which is pretty cool. And my wife is amazing. She understands forgiveness. She understands forgiveness. You know, as a child, if I made a mistake or was naughty, which was very often, I had the understanding that I had to crawl back to my parents. I had to crawl back into that space of I'm sorry. You know, and please don't hit me. Please don't smack me. Please. It was just this understanding that forgiveness was conditional. Forgiveness was, I had to earn it. I had to work my way back into that space. And so that was how I pictured God. Every time I made a mistake, it was like God was there with a stick going, come on, get back in the line. I didn't see him as a loving God. I saw him as a penitent God, where he was wanting to punish me, but who knows, that's not who God is. That is not who God is. God is a merciful God, and we're going to look more into that. But you see, it came to a certain point when I was in my 30s, and I was reading the book by Joseph Prince, Destined to Reign. Has anyone read that book or known that book? Wow. If you want a book that's going to turn your theology of forgiveness inside out, you better read that one. I was reading this book in this night, and I'm sitting there in bed by myself, just reading away, and it was like the pages just lifted and became alive. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, and I say my Christian life, for nearly some 25 years at this point, I actually understood what forgiveness was. I understood that my sins past, my sins present, and my sins future were wiped out. I had a revelation of forgiveness at that point. I ran out into the family room and I said, honey, I'm forgiven. She goes, yeah. I said, no. I said, babe, you don't get it. You don't get it. I'm forgiven. I had this fresh revelation of who God was, because forgiveness was something that was a free gift. I'd never in my life until this point experienced what forgiveness was at this level. I finally understood what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive in Christ, and he forgave all your sins. What does it say? All your sins. You know what? I looked up the Greek word for all. Now, I don't expect you to be able to read that word. It actually is pronounced something like panda. Do you know what it means? This will surprise you. All. Simple. It means everything. It means past, present, future, everything. Everything's wiped out. Everything's gone. Nothing left behind. Nothing held on. It means all. The scripture declares, and God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. Right in that moment in my room, I read the words for the first time, and I was having a behold moment of who Jesus was. I was having a behold moment. I was looking again, and it was this the revelation of forgiveness that I'd never, ever experienced before. I knew for the first time that Jesus had cleansed me. I was pure in the Father's eyes. I actually saw the Father as a loving Father for the first time. It changed my life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This declaration by John the Baptist isn't bound by time. It's a declaration for eternity. When John saw Jesus walking before him, he declared a declaration for eternity that said, behold, walking before me right now is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and he is here to take away the sins for eternity. That was a declaration that would change the world as we know it. And you might be sitting there going, that's really sad that it took you that long to work it out. But can I just say, I'm sure and I'm convinced that there are people in this room who have not yet had a revelation of what forgiveness is. And I pray that this morning, my prayer this morning is that you walk out of here having had a fresh revelation, having had a change, having had an understanding, and you walk out here being free from any condemnation, free from any guilt, free from any sense of I am not cleansed, free from any sense of dirt or pain or anything, because Jesus has given you complete forgiveness. In fact, do you know, the devil wants you to be gagged. He wants you to be bound. He wants you to be kept in that space. He doesn't want you to be free. Do you know what? He'll even use scripture. He will use scripture to keep you in that space. He will twist it. Just like he did with Jesus, why don't you turn this stone into bread? Man doesn't live by bread alone. Jesus corrects him. The devil uses scripture in the same way. He will try and twist things and keep you bound. In fact, if we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 13, he's telling us that we need to work out. We need to work at salvation. Have a look at what it says here, where it says in Philippians 2:12. And 13, dear friends, you've always followed my instructions, the Apostle Paul speaking here, when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Other translations will say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He would like to keep you bound in that space that says you need to work at your salvation. You need to work hard. It's all about what you do. It's all about how good you are. It's all about the good acts that you do. But have a look at verse 13. Look at what it says straight after that. For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. Why do we discount the scripture and not look at the full context? Look at that. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases you. It's not about what you do. God gives it to you. God gives you the ability to actually walk in that freedom. You don't have to work hard at it because God gives you the ability to go, I'm going to do this. It's nothing that you do. It's all that what Jesus has done. It's all about what God does in your life. Let me give you another one. In the Lord's Prayer, we so often misunderstand this one also. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And we say this part, and forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Implying that forgiveness is conditional. That I have to forgive others in order to be forgiven. There is nothing conditional about the forgiveness of God. There is, let me say that again. There is nothing conditional about the forgiveness of God. Forgiveness comes through faith in Jesus Christ and turning from our old ways, but it is simply an act of faith. If we fail to forgive others, we are simply not recognizing that the saving grace has first been given to us, and in turn, our desire is to award it to others. That's what that scripture is saying. Let me put it another way. Since we are no longer slaves to sin, I no longer hold you to be a slave to sin, so I forgive you. That is what that scripture is saying. It's telling us that because we've been forgiven so much, we ought to forgive, and it is a result of what God's done in us. We cannot help but forgive because we've been forgiven. It comes through that revelation of forgiveness that we're first given. And our result is we forgive in the same manner. In the same way that the devil will use scripture to condemn us, we use scripture to condemn ourselves. Have you ever done that? I did. For years. So often we can read the Bible and think what we see is there and not actually capture the full meaning of what's being said. We take verses in isolation, like we've just seen, and we apply them and cause condemnation to prevail in our lives. Who knows? Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. So why do we condemn ourselves? Jesus says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life and life to the full. Can I show you some truth about forgiveness? Have a look at this. I'm hoping that this is, as you read the Word of God this morning, as you just capture this, I'm hoping that you're just going to get a fresh revelation. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 12. Have a look at this. Behold, there it is again. Behold, take another look. Sit back, have another look. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they didn't continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Continue. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. The new covenant says, I will be merciful. Do we serve a God of mercy? Or do we serve a God with a big stick up there going, which, naughty, which, I'm going to slap you for doing that? No, God says, I am merciful. He is a merciful. We need to get a revelation of forgiveness that speaks to our inner beings and remind us that the shed blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. No longer are we slaves to sin. No longer are we found in guilt. No longer are we condemned. We are free. You are free. If you have accepted Jesus, if you have stepped out in faith and believe that he is the Son of God, that he is risen from the dead, can I declare over you this morning, you are free. Nothing is holding you back. Only you can hold yourself back. You can let things hold you back, but only you can do that because God does not hold you back. He says you are free. Only the devil, people around you, and you yourself like to bring to remembrance the sins of your past. Think that through. Only you, people around you, because people love to cut you down, don't they? And the devil like to bring to the remembrance the sins of the past. Can we go a bit deeper? We'll go there? That's good. When you know that you are forgiven, we know that God is merciful. But why do I still feel trapped in sin? Why is it that I continue to sin? Why is it I continue to make mistakes? We know we're forgiven, but we seem to be caught in this lifestyle of caught between one side and the other. And Paul talks about it. Oh, wretched man, who is this? You know, that what I will to do, I do not do, and what I do not will to do, I do. We're caught in this kind of chasm in between. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Catch that right there. We don't walk according to the flesh anymore. We now walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, repeating again, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, things of the Spirit. Do you know what our problem is? We don't get a revelation of forgiveness, and we think that we need to do it all ourselves, and we don't walk in the Spirit that God's given us and says, I've given you everything that you need, as we read in 1 Peter, I've given you everything that you need, so just walk in the Spirit. When we get a fresh revelation of forgiveness, I am convinced that we can walk free from the condemnation of sin and we will not be bound by it. You know, I've heard preaching, and I'm sure you have, that says now that you're saved, you need to display good behavior. You need to have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You should be showing those. What's wrong with you? What's that doing? Condemnation again. You need to work hard at this. You need to do all these wonderful things. You shouldn't be doing these sinful things. You get down on yourself, right? I need to be more disciplined. I need to stay on track. I need to pray more. I need to be 2 hours a day in prayer because if I do that, then I won't sin. Works, 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 works. I'm back in that mindset. I need to work harder at it. Can I say something to you? Controversial maybe? Garbage. Amen. Who says you are unworthy? Who told you you are unworthy? Who told you you need to work at it? Who said that you actually need to work harder to be close to God? You're close to God because of one thing, Jesus Christ. The only thing that is the barrier is that step of faith into that life of acceptance in Jesus. That brings you close to God. You can't get any closer to God by anything that you do. It's all about the grace that he affords you. It's all about the mercy that he gives you. It's all about the amazing grace that he pours out in our lives. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I love this particular scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. His divine power has given us everything. What does it say? Everything. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through Him you may participate in divine nature. Wow. You get to participate in divine nature? That's pretty out there, right? Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We get to step into the divine providence of who God is, all about what He's done, because He's poured His goodness into our life. He's given us everything that we need for a godly life. We can go on in victory. We get the victory and we go on living in the victory. For this very reason, because you've been given those things, because you've been given that freedom, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, it's a long list, to godliness, I've lost my spot, mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin. I'd never seen that before. When we forget that we've been forgiven, it's like we're blinded. So what's God saying? Get a revelation of forgiveness. Remember that you're forgiven. And you will have the ability to do all of these things, because God gives you everything that you need in order to do that. Here's where it's at. When we capture a full revelation of the power of forgiveness, it frees us from the slavery of sin. It's nothing about what we do. It's all about who we are in Him. It's all about what He has done, is continuing to do. Here's your takeaway. A revelation of the power of forgiveness destroys the power of sin in our lives. When we capture this and we live a life that focuses on the power of revelation and forgiveness in our lives, we'll be automatically add goodness, knowledge, etc. Everything that was listed there, it just comes to us because God gives it to us. We don't have to work hard at it. You don't need to work at all. You no longer need to live in condemnation. You no longer need to live in fear. You have already overcome the power of sin and death in your life, and the power of sin has been destroyed. It's not what you did, it's what Jesus has done. Can I give you one last thing? This might be a little controversial. Are you ready? Okay. You don't need to confess your sin. Did he just say that? Let me hear me out. Listen to me very carefully. I said you don't need to confess your sin. But what about 1 John 1:9? Well, let's read it. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I need you to listen carefully. Entire doctrines have been built around conditional forgiveness from this one verse. If you confess, then He will forgive. That's not what it's saying. Why do we put works into doctrine? If I do something, God will. If, conditional. It's about works again. If we put works in the place of forgiveness, we make man's responsibility over forgiveness. Whose responsibility is forgiveness? God's. It's not what we do, it's what He has done. Let me put that verse to you this way. I don't confess my sins to be forgiven. I want to confess my sin because I'm forgiven. That's the revelation that you need to understand. If you understand who John was writing to, he was writing to a church in the time when Gnosticism was rife. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He was trying to prove who Jesus was, and he was talking about their ways of life that were all messed up, and he was trying to show them the path of righteousness. He wasn't putting conditions on it. He was telling them, guys, you've been forgiven. So your heart desires to be before the Father and say, God, I've done this wrong. forgive me. There's nothing wrong with going and doing that, but don't make it a conditional thing. Don't make it about works. If you spent your entire life living out that verse, you would spend every second of the day asking for forgiveness. Think that through. You would be trying to be forgiven, confessing all the time, because the Bible says also that whatever is not faith is sin. So those thoughts that I've had, the sins that I can't even remember that I've done, are you going to confess all them too? We'd be living this life of condemnation the whole time. The law brings condemnation. Why do we try and work at it? Jesus brings freedom. Jesus brings revelation in freedom of forgiveness. Much like the law, it is impossible for us to confess all of our sins. We just can't do it. It's not physically possible. It's impossible to keep the law. It's impossible to confess all of our sins. God says, just come to me with a broken heart. Come to me with a contrite heart. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who come to him and just stand before them and worship him because he is who he is, because he's merciful, he's gracious, he's wonderful. We simply need to see the truth of forgiveness and understand the freedom that it brings. There is nothing, and I'm going to say it again, there is nothing that you need to do. Nothing that you need to do. It's a free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and then we can live the freedom that comes through living in the Spirit. Amen. No longer are we bound to sin and unforgiveness, condemnation and guilt, because Jesus has given us the freedom that comes from his perfect sacrifice. I know I've gone over time, but I've got to read this one verse for you. Just capture this, and this wraps it all up. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, it says this, "But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done." There it is. Not what you do. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. So none of us can boast about it. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. Because we're saved, we can now do good things. Because we're forgiven, we can now do good things." There's power in that. And I pray that you're going to have a behold moment this morning. I know you might be sitting there and you've heard me talk about this Jesus. This time of the year, and you may have never had an encounter with Jesus. You may have never actually stepped out in faith and said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God," and receive that forgiveness. Can I tell you, that's a free gift ready for you right now, today. And it's nothing that you do. It's simply faith to trust Jesus. Do you know what? God gives you the faith so that you can believe in him. God gives each one of us a measure of faith. And so this morning, if you're in this place, and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I would love to give you the opportunity to meet him for the first time, because he loves you and he died for you. But best of all, he rose again from the grave so that you could be forgiven this morning. Can I ask you all to stand?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.